Welcome to the Gamesmith's Table Talk. This is a roundtable format discussion where I and my guests try to cover three tabletop role-playing related topics in 15 minutes. If you know anything about tabletop role players, then you'll know that this is an ambitious goal. Let's head to the table. Welcome back to our Table Talk podcast. I'm your host, Clayton the Gamesmith, and joining me are...
I'm Franklin.
I'm Cheryl.
I'm Clark.
Let's head to the table.
The views and opinions of the panel are their own and do not reflect the views and opinions of any other individual company or organization. This podcast has been known to be opinionated. You have been warned.
In this episode of Table Talk, we're going to be talking about adventures that are railroad versus sandbox. Railroad adventures are an adventure in which the characters proceed through the story point A to point B to point C, as determined by usually a pre-printed adventure, though not exclusively, and you reach the ultimate conclusion of that story following a very specific sequence of events. Sandbox, on the other hand, is exactly like a sandbox. There's a whole bunch of toys in there, and it makes absolutely no difference how you play with the toys or in what order in order to have a good time. Do you have a preference of play style, or, for me, the GM style, railroad versus sandbox?
I prefer a mix. I really enjoy sandbox for the ability of the player to direct how things go, but sometimes the sandbox can be too unstructured, and then you're just like, you go off and then you're not even on the adventure anymore.
No, that's never happened to me.
By me. Railroad, on the other hand, gives you that structure, and you can play looser with that structure or really railroad it and be very, you know, if you don't hit B, you cannot go on to C. Sometimes that's a little too heavy-handed for me, but so yeah, I prefer a mixture.
I think comfort-wise, a lot of older gamers probably have a preference, or at least I do, towards a railroad-type adventure, like the earlier D&D editions where a module would definitely take you on a predetermined course from the beginning of the story to its end. For me, the whole concept of railroad versus sandbox, I've really only been introduced to that in the last 3-4 years. And having experienced both play styles, I would definitely say I'd lean towards a more railroad type of game that's structured. And I know there's a definite course that I need to take to obtain my objectives along the way.
I think it's worth mentioning that, at least in a tabletop game setting, there is no... It's impossible to entirely do one style or the other. There will always be some middle ground, some lenience, some bleed over from the other. Because if you have, you know, an entirely railroaded experience, what you have there is an ebook, not a tabletop role-playing game, where three players sit down at a table and the GM just narrates to them about what happens. So there, by nature of it being a tabletop game, there has to be some element of player choice and freedom, which then lends itself to sandbox. On the other hand, even in the most sandbox modules and adventures, you're still going to be limited by the setting, by the rule system that you're played in. There's still not an element of perfect freedom, say. So there will be certain constraints on the player. So it's impossible to have a pure experience one way or the other.
Well, my question wasn't really towards the metaphysical experience. It was more along the lines of, if I go to play an adventure and I'm being led by the nose from one event to the next event, and I have no opportunity for player agency or character creativity in order to achieve my goal, that is too repressive as a railroad. But yeah, that can even happen inside of a sandbox environment.
Yeah. And I can definitely agree with that. There is a way to railroad too far, and at that point it becomes, as I mentioned, just basically an ebook where the GM is just narrating to the players what happens, and they are not really playing. They're just they're observers more than participants.
I think in all fairness, though, even what's considered a railroad game today is much different than the earlier editions of D&D, where you would literally, characters 1 to 3, go into room A and fight monster C. It's definitely less structured of an experience now, where even with a predetermined destination, you do feel that your choices matter along the way. in, you know, less hack and slash playstyle.
Very certainly, and I think even in every tabletop adventure that I've ever read, what you have is the adventure itself as a whole might be quite rolly, but the individual dungeons are often mini sandboxes where you arrive in a dungeon and there's no set. You have to explore this room to this room to this room. You explore somewhat organically.
And conversely, the opposite occurs. You're in a sandbox and environment. You arrive at location Z and there's a railroad event inside that location. And then as soon as you leave that location, you're back into the sandbox.
Cycling around to my personal preference, honestly, I don't think there's an inherent advantage to one over the other. I think it comes down to the experience that, as a GM, you're trying to create. A railroad story makes it much easier to deliver a very specific narrative with very specific messages. There are strengths to strong narrative delivery at the expense of some amount of player expression. And there is an advantage to letting the players go free, but you lose out on some of the narrative. If players go around, do things in the wrong order, that can change the tone of the story. Skip entire areas. Speaking to my experience with video games, I think anyone who's played, for example, games like Skyrim, any of the survival crafting games like Minecraft, know that it's very, very difficult to deliver a really strong narrative in that kind of game. But that's fine, because that's not what they do. They're about player expression more than narrative.
Yes, talking about the video game experience, there was a huge chunk of time quite a few years ago where everything was moving towards the sandbox play. Everybody wants sandbox play. And then a couple of titles delivered sandbox play, and the player base went, no.
There's a point where it becomes too much freedom, right? Where you don't know what to do with all of the options front of you. And what you end up with is just kind of a bland experience overall.
Yes, you're paralyzed by your complete ability to choose everything.
Yeah.
Yes. As a GM, I prefer, as the same as my player experience, is to mix it. If I have a railroad portion, I will have 3 to 4 different options to get to that same point so that the players have more agency in what they're doing. So instead of just saying, you have to go to this point, this little room in the bank is the only place you're going to find that bit of information. And if you don't find that bit of information, then nothing happens. You can't continue with this part of the adventure. You know, I prefer to, you can get it from over here, you can get it from over here, and stuff like that. Because there are times when the dice gods just go, nope, you ain't finding that. So I like to open it more. There are times when the players will decide, hey, we're going in sandbox now.
Yes.
And as a GM, as a GM, you've got to be a bit more flexible with that and then find ways to, you know, railroad them back towards the adventure.
Derailing a term?
Derailing is definitely a term.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of a comment that Clayton mentioned about the feeling of being paralyzed by too many choices or having too many options open to you. And that was definitely the feeling I got in my first few experiences in a sandbox campaign. Is I felt there was no structure holding me in.
Yeah, where do I go? What do I do?
Yes,
Who do I see?
Something I want to mention as well, just jumping a little bit from a GM perspective, sandbox adventures are written, how different GMs have run them, how I've run them myself. The illusion of choice is actually a really powerful tool for the GM in a sandbox adventure, where the players need to find an object. Well, where that object is could just conveniently be wherever they decide to go.
Yeah.
The players feel like they're going wherever they want, but there are ways to railroad them without realizing that they're being railroaded. It's something that I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing for new, more inexperienced GMs, because it is the kind of thing that takes a little bit of deftness, a little bit of a light touch. But it's, you know, something to think about. There are ways to provide your players with their own expression, with their freedom to do things the way they want, but also still guide them towards particular objectives or towards the story that you want to deliver.
Now, I've been at tables where when the GM provides some sort of railroad in whatever capacity, then the player himself rebels against it. But there are times when that is needed by the GM to move the story, and being able to trust your GM in those situations is very paramount. I'll talk about one situation where we had started up a DC Heroes campaign. The guy who started GMing us, we really didn't trust. He was very railroady. It was all A, B, C, D. And if you went outside those parameters, he would just give up, or he would punish the characters in some way. So when Clayton took over for a session, my character had run into chasing the bad guys, and they were throwing gas at him. Well, the dice gods being as they were, I was making every saving throw. I think I rolled 15 times. And it was a save every single time. And finally, Clayton just looked over at me and said, I need Surge to be unconscious. And I went, okay, and went unconscious. Because I trusted my GM that my character is not going to be punished for this decision.
Well, it's DC Heroes. You got to end up in an obscenely slow death trap while the villain explains what's going on.
Yes. But what I'm saying is, because I didn't trust my other GM, I wouldn't have done that for him. There would have been no way. So you can railroad your players, and as long as you're not like a heavy-handed railroader, they'll trust you in that. At least that's what I found.
So I'm kind of sensing a central theme here that the difference between the railroad versus sandbox isn't the railroad versus sandbox, it's the GM.
I think the way a particular GM handles these types of adventures is absolutely key here.
I mean, that's completely a different topic about, you know, the GM style and, you know, so stay tuned for that one. That'll pop up sometime. So I don't want to dive too much into that. I want to make sure that we're keeping to the railroad versus sandbox. But I do think we need to mention, and I interrupted you, please.
I would definitely agree with Franklin's statement on the fact that a more experienced GM can definitely reroute an adventure that's kind of gone astray off the rails, so to speak. In a way that feels spontaneous and natural and not like you're trying to actually direct the course of the adventure?
Well, I have had an experience where I played with someone who we get to a hex in a numbered hex and I start explaining what's happening and one of the players at the table says, that doesn't happen in this hex. It happens in that hex. Because I had moved the hex around so that I could move the story in the direction that I wanted to. But the player was so familiar with the adventure that we were playing, he knew that that particular event was not supposed to occur in that hex. This is way back in Greyhawk, by the way. And so he said, that doesn't occur in this hex, that occurs in that hex. Well, and I just had to say, but I've shuffled the hexes around. And he's like, but you can't do that. The world is the world. That's where things happen. And I'm like, but I just did it because I'm the GM. And so there's got to be a certain amount of give from the players, too.
Absolutely. Also, let's talk about players. Beginning players, I feel, my opinion, this is an opinionated show, is that beginning players are more likely to thrive in more railroad adventures than if, you know, you start off right away and somebody throws you into a sandbox.
Clark very is much so. Throwing his head violently forward.
Yes, that definitely, I would say as the person at this table with probably the least years of gaming experience, that is definitely my preferred playstyle is having a destination, having certain points that I need to meet along the way. That's more structured game is definitely more within my comfort zone.
Yeah, so definitely. So GMs out there, if you have a brand new table, they're not used to role-playing, I would definitely suggest you start off with a railroad. It doesn't need to be a tight, tight railroad, but a railroad nonetheless, so that they can get a feel for what they can and cannot do, for what is going on in the world, and then you can gradually introduce them more into a sandbox play.
Give them a bit of structure, give them a direction to move in towards their goal. And just something I just want to throw out because I came across it randomly. Again, talking about this in the context of video games, but the advice is very much applicable to sandbox games as well. Something that makes a sandbox, especially a sandbox-style adventure, feel actually deliver on the things that you want it to deliver is letting the players do the right thing the wrong way. Have a solution in mind for how players are going to surmount an obstacle, but your players will surprise you. They'll come up with creative solutions and let them get away with it. Because that creates stories that they're going to tell for years to come.
Yes, our listeners are going to hear so many stories from us about this happened and that happened. And, you know, I've already recounted a story that, like, happened in, like, 1979. So, as we're coming down the pike, as it were, to our last minute on this particular podcast, I just want to remind GMs, when you look at a sandbox environment, don't freak out and go, I'm not going to do this because it looks intimidating because there's so much stuff in it. All you need to do is start off in the areas where you know your players are starting and then just add information to your repertoire as you go from there. No one starts at the top of the map and then suddenly teleports to the bottom at level one. So you don't need to worry about what's at the bottom of the map. All you need to worry about is four or five hexes or squares or whatever, the next closest town around them or the next city district that is nearby. You don't have to know everything. But you have to be prepared for the fact that, just like Franklin was saying, your players are going to go off and do something else. Don't punish them for that. Reward them for their creativity. Help them enjoy the adventure. That's why you're all there, to have fun.
Definitely.
I agree.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you at the table.